Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Well, hey there, my friend. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates. I'm your decluttering cheerleader, and you are listening to episode 299 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. Today's conversation is one of those episodes that started in one place and ended up somewhere completely unexpected, but it was fantastic. I love when this happens and we can dive deeper on topics that just come up that really resonate, and I think you're going to love it. I'm sitting down with Melissa Griffiths. She is the founder of Bless This Mess. It is a food blog that she's been growing for over 13 years to help busy moms put simple, nourishing meals on the table without the stress. She's a mom of five who recently made an incredible leap from southern Utah all the way to rural Vermont. And so she knows what it's like to feed a family of seven, manage the chaos, and still find time for some flow in the everyday. All right, we talk about her once a month meal planning system that actually works, how to get kids involved in the kitchen without it becoming another chore for you, and then the conversation takes this beautiful turn. We talk about the mental load of being the one who's always thinking about dinner and how to nourish your family. Hand raised over here. That was my question. How to ask your partner for real help, raising kids in the age of screens, and what it's like to downsize by 2/3 when her family moved across the country. And so, yeah, it was really interesting. If you are not already subscribed, I would love to ask for you to go ahead and hit that follow button so that you don't miss an episode. And then come hang out with me on Instagram. I am at wannabeclutterfree, and we'll be having a conversation about this episode over there so you can join in there as well. All right, go ahead. You can find the show notes if you want any of the links that we talk about today at wannabeclutterfree.com/299. Again, wannabeclutterfree.com/299. All right, let's dive in. Well, hey, Melissa, welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free. How you doing today?
So good. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. You're here. We're going to talk about a topic that I think is going to be really helpful for me as well as the audience. So I'm excited about it. But before we get there, can you please introduce yourself and tell listeners who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Melissa Griffiths. I'm a mom of five, a small business owner. And what I love the most is helping families get dinner on the table. I have been a food blogger for 15 years. I have almost 2,000 recipes for free on my website. I've written cookbooks. I love food and feeding people. And what I really love is packaging it really nicely, because most of us, like, I can't eat out 3 times a day. I can't even eat out 1 time a day. You don't even consistently. Like, it's too much. So if you are in the same boat as me, if you have people to feed, I love taking like that stress out of it. If we are going to do this every day, day over day over day, we might as well find some flow to it and maybe even learn how to like it.
I'm so excited you're here, because I go through, I would say, cycles. There are times where I'm like, yeah, I've got this and I'm on board and the cooking doesn't seem hard. And then I have other times in my life where life is just really busy. Maybe I've got like a big work project coming up, or my daughter's doing something that's really, you know, my time intensive. And I just am like, ugh, the idea of thinking about what to put on the table this week really is a struggle for me. So I'm excited that you're going to help me, because I only have one. There's only 3 of us. So it shouldn't be that hard, but it still feels hard sometimes.
And I mean, it's also feeding multiple people every day.
You're right. It's multiple people, multiple opinions, multiple tastes. Everyone's a little bit different. So how do we get everybody on board? And then also right now, I think this is so timely because everything is so expensive. Even going for counter service is like, that's how we go out to eat anymore, because going to a restaurant is so expensive and, you know, it's all just creeping up. So I think this is going to be great. So we can feed our family in a way that everyone wants to eat. It's easier for us and it looks beautiful, so we don't feel deprived. Oh, mwah, chef's kiss. This is going to be fun. All right. So you've been running Bless This Mess for over 13 years, feeding your family of seven. You said you have 5 kids. When did meal planning actually click for you? And what was dinner time like before you had it figured out? Let's get a little bit into it.
I feel like when I moved to a really rural location, then I almost had to. There was no like running to the store. There was no forgetting ingredients and making, you know what I mean? It was a lot of making do or meal planning so that you could go and get your groceries and take care of it. And you had to because there was not closeness and proximity to make it easier. So I started meal planning really well when we moved to a really rural location. And before that, I did have more flexibility. But now that I have teenagers and we're so busy and I have moved closer to a grocery store recently and it's really, really fun, but I find myself like if I have forgotten too many things, it takes too much time right before dinner and my kids have too many other things going on. It's not super convenient to have to run to the store time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, I would say even I've always lived in a city and it's still not something I like to do. I mean, especially if you're in the middle of trying to like make dinner, it's 5:30 and you're like, I have to go to the store now. That's going to take me. My store, I'm not kidding you, is right down the street. I can walk there. But even if I drive there at that time of day, it's so busy. That's going to take me 30 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we think it's an in-and-out trip and then it is 30 minutes logistically.
Yeah. I mean, because everyone's there at that time. That's when the lines are so long.
Yeah.
All right. So you now plan meals once a month, which I think sounds like a dream because a lot of moms, you know, we can barely make it through the week. We're so busy. Like you said, we've got so many things, demands on our attention and our time. And so can you walk us through what that actually looks like in real life? You know, how do you, when I think like monthly, I'm like, wait a minute, what about produce and milk and all of these other things? So why does monthly planning work better for busy families?
Yeah, and you don't have to shop monthly. You can shop weekly and plan monthly, and you can plan weekly. But my, like the kind of kicker of my system is to make a, like do a brain dump and make a giant master list of all of the recipes that you already know, you already make, you just kind of have forgotten. And sometimes I like to put them in categories because it jogs my brain a little bit more. Like pizza, sure, you can make like a really simple sheet pan pizza with pepperoni on it. But if you think about it a little bit longer, you might actually make zucchini boats and calzones and personal pan pizzas and, you know, pizza rolls where you roll them up like a cinnamon roll. Like you have some variations. And then you think about tacos. You might get stuck on, I make ground beef tacos, but you actually know how to make like a really good like grilled chicken sheet pan kind of thing or fajitas. If you go more for the Tex-Mex umbrella, you could say I actually make enchiladas and I have a really good like Mexican rice bowl that I like. So if you take the time to kind of brain dump by a genre of what you know how to make, your family likes, you might not remember it all the time, but it's a comfortable with you recipe, then I feel like that's the first step. And then I take those categories on a monthly calendar and I prioritize them by day. So like Mondays can be Meatless Monday or they could be Crock-Pot Monday or they could be Breakfast for Dinner Monday. And then Tuesday is Taco Tuesday and Wednesday is Comfort Food. And Thursday is the night that you always have ice skating lessons. So you do 15-minute meals. You know, those are your grilled cheese night. Friday, maybe you're getting takeout or you're doing pizza. Saturday's for leftovers. Like if you can kind of assign days of the week to your genres, then you can just pop them in. And so if you had four things under your genre of Tex-Mex, just rotate them. Just put them for the four little weeks in a row on your Tuesdays. And maybe you did slow cooker recipes for Wednesday. So just put four slow cooker recipes on your Wednesdays. And I think that it takes a lot of that thought out of it. So do your master plan and then plug in the genre to the day of the week and then just fill it in. And there can be some seasonality to it. Like right now, maybe you're doing more soups and stews because it's chilly. And then the summer, maybe one of your category is going to be grill night and you're going to make something on the grill every Friday night. You have some flexibility to it, but once you sit down and do it once, you'll have it. And if you do that even quarterly, if you make three of those little monthly menus, you can pull them back out. My kids could definitely eat the same thing once a quarter. That is not a lot. And honestly, you could eat the same thing once a month, and that's probably much less often than what you would do without a plan.
I love that idea. And it's true. I appreciate that you broke that down. Just because you're planning a month in advance doesn't mean you're shopping just for that whole month.
Yeah.
And I do. So you are a fan of the kind of theme nights.
I just think that it's one of those things like just streamline how your thought process works. If you don't like it, my other favorite option is make your master list, tape it inside of your cupboard so that you have it and you don't lose it. And then you can even delegate this. I did this last night to my kids. It must have been Sunday night. I have this giant master list of things that I know that we like, that we make, that I'm comfortable with. And I said, you guys pick, tell me five things that you want. Like, I don't want to do this week. And so I have a teenage daughter and she was like, I really want chicken noodle soup. I will even make the, she really likes homemade noodles. And I was like, okay, if you're going to make the noodles, like, not a big deal. Cause I was just going to buy a package of egg noodles. And then some of my other kids chimed in. We haven't had Sloppy Joe's in a long time and they served it at the public school and they didn't like theirs. So they're like, Mom, make your sloppy joes. So I had my kids look at the master list of things that I knew that I wanted to make. And then they told me the five things. And so I went to the store. I made sure I had all the ingredients for the five things. I printed out each of the five recipes and I just stuck them to my fridge. So now if I am working late or someone has a ball game or I'm at a class or something, anyone can pull something off of the fridge and be like, I know that we have everything for Sloppy Joe's this week. So someone can start on dinner for you. So I feel like that's like my second option. Like, use your master list, pick five things, and don't sign them a day of the week. Be like, okay, I feel like tonight I have a ball game. So I did have a slow cooker recipe on one of those five. So I'm going to start it when we're done because I know that that kind of cooking window is filled in by a ball game and we'll get home right at 6:30 or 7 when everyone's ready to eat.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I like that there's a little bit of a mix and match approach. I can see how that one would take a little more mental energy. I know that your kids picked the recipes, but if it's not assigned a day, then I can see how either that day or earlier in the week, you're going to have to say, okay, what does our schedule actually look like?
I like the flexibility. Because my kids are in a lot of activities. I have five humans to keep track of and they're teenagers and it's really fun. But like, only one time a week every Sunday, I write down like everyone's practice schedule and when people need picked up so that my after school is really fleshed out. And then if I can kind of tell, I'll write the little meal ideas at the top that I bought stuff for and I will like pre-plug stuff in. And I normally am only doing 4 to 5 for the week. And then if I didn't get to it, I still have Saturday or Sunday that I can cook those things off. And if like maybe if I bought meat and I'm like, ooh, we are not – I did this last week. I made chicken for something, maybe a soup or something, but I had a big enough package for two meals. And so I went ahead and chopped it all up and seasoned it because I was like, oh, I have chicken tacos on my menu. But then it was getting a little bit too long. So I just like put all of that seasoned taco meat in the freezer because it was more than a day or two and I was feeling squeamish about the meat and it's too expensive to waste any. So I just popped that whole thing that I had kind of meal prepped into the freezer and then just pulled it out later in the weekend when I was actually ready to use it.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. And I love those little ideas or those little just moments where you're like, okay, I have it. It's 90% there, right? And like, so it was already prepped, it was cut, it was seasoned, it was ready to go. And then you just, life gets in the way. Sometimes that happens. So I love having these little contingencies of like, well, you know, it doesn't always go according to the plan that we had. And so it's nice to know because I think that's what throws a lot of us off is like, I planned out the week, something came up, my kid got sick or something went longer or, you know, whatever. And then they just feel like, oh, I have to throw the whole thing out. We don't have to just make small adjustments and or even if just that one day gets thrown out, go back to it the next day.
Yeah. And your freezer really is your best friend. I think it's one of the most underutilized tools for like food waste. So if you had something on you said you were going to make the chicken with the soup and the chicken taco meat, what I really should have done is I probably should have just cooked that chicken taco meat while I was already cooking this stuff. And I could have even froze it done instead of, you know what I mean? Like already cooked it and got it kind of done and ready and then put it away. So if you are making a soup or a chili or something on your menu and you haven't had time to use it yet, you can go ahead on one of the days that you're cooking, go ahead and make two main meals and put half of both or all of one in the freezer because it's so nice to have some of those things. You're like, okay, I know that we are pandemonium tonight, so I'm just going to pull that chili out to thaw and just serve it with tortilla chips and not worry about making cornbread or something to go with it.
Keep it simple. Yeah, give yourself some simple moments. It's totally fine. And I'm sure I would miss the cornbread. I'm not sure anybody else in my house would miss it. So yeah.
I know, I love it too.
We live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about you having 5 kids in the kitchen, homeschooling, blog to run, all the things. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Okay, so before the break, we were going to talk about you having 5 kids in the kitchen. So how do you actually get your kids involved without feeling like it's more work for you? And now I know they're teens, so I'm sure you've, you know, gone through a lot and you've been running your blog and business for 13 years. So I'm sure you have things that you did when they were little, because I think that's when it's the biggest stress. I've struggled with getting my daughter in the kitchen because I think by the time the end of the day, I'm hungry. We're all hungry. Like, making a bigger mess in the kitchen can be hard. So how do we make this easier and get her in there and teach her the things I want her to learn without being so stressed?
Yeah, I kind of had an untraditional train of thought for this. I had a mother who was like an excellent seamstress, and I left my home barely knowing how to, like, she taught me how to sew a purse and a pillow. Like, I had the basics of a sewing machine, but I did not have the skill set that she had because she could do it for me. And I also probably didn't bug her enough, right? She had a bunch of kids too. So I think of my own skill set. Like, I love to cook and feed people. So am I passing on that life skill to my children, and in what way? So I had 5 kids in 8 years. So I had a bunch of babies and a bunch of toddlers and a bunch of little kids. And so cooking dinner was my kind of me time for a lot of years. And I did not have guilt about that. I've been pretty rigid about screen time as a mom because I am who I am. But that was, my kids would watch a show. They'd wake up from naps. We'd clean up the house. I would put on a show. And for a lot of years, I would cook with a podcast in my ears or a song that I wanted to listen to. And it was a little bit of time for myself. So if you are in that boat, have no guilt. You have many, many years left to teach your kids kitchen skills and proficiency. And of course that they can help. They can help set the table and they can help with vegetables. But like, teach them from a place when you are in the mood to fill that bucket of theirs, when you have enough in your own bucket to share. And for all the other nights that you're just trying to get it done, have zero guilt about having your kids help, because there will be time. And so when they are big enough to help, or you do have the bandwidth and the space, I would always assign them tasks, because kids want to help. And it's so easy to put them up to the sink and have them wash a vegetable. And it's messy and it's wet, but that water is magic, especially if they are kind of fussing and fighting with each other. Like, put one kid at the sink and have one, you know what I mean, over at the table chopping up the vegetables. So I had a lot of faith in my kids. I would give them all the butter knives. They would chop up vegetables. You know, mushrooms are simple. Some of those things. Of course, they can stir and they can do these things. But I also really liked when I would assign kids a night of the week. And so I had 5 kids. So 5 nights of the week, I could say, and I didn't do it every night. This was probably 1 week of the month I would do really well. Or I would say like, okay, this Monday is going to be one kid and the next Tuesday will be a different kid, and have them help me plan the meal, pick what we're eating, do the groceries, and kind of focus on one kid at a time, and then go through the whole meal with them, because that's a lot easier than having a whole bunch of kids in the kitchen helping. And then I also really think that, like, jobs and zones for helping clean up after a meal should definitely be there, especially if you have a partner that can show up and help and delegate it and get it done. I'm a big fan of like turn on your cleaning music or your fun songs, and everyone, like one of those kids, is always going to put away the condiments and the extra things into Tupperware. One kid is always going to wash off the table. One kid is always going to take the dishes to the sink. One is always going to load. If they have set jobs, they can really master the skill before you rotate. And so we would have set jobs for our kids for like 3 months to a whole year. They would do the same zone or the same set job over and over and over again, because I didn't have to think about it, and they would have a proficiency and they knew what to expect.
I love that. Yes, less training as they go, because you've already trained them once, and then it just starts to become second nature. They get better at it. They also find their own ways to make it their own. I think if they get to do it over and over and over again, they figure out, you know, different ways to load the dishwasher, or, you know, ways to make it more efficient for them or more fun too. So I love that. But before, at the very beginning of that, I love how you just brought down the guilt, right? Bring it down. It doesn't have to be perfect. And I deal with that pressure all the time. I'm such a perfectionist. And so I often need that reminder for myself. So I really appreciate you bringing that to that moment of like, it's okay if this isn't the season. The season will come. If it's important for you and if it's something that you do want to pass on to your kids, you will find time to teach them. And I love that idea of thinking about it. As you were talking about your mom being a seamstress, it made me think of like apprenticeship. And it made me think of like, what are those skills that we have that we want to make sure our children have going out into the world as adults, and these mini apprenticeships that we can have in our home to teach them these skills. So that's what it made me think of. I love that.
I think that that is a huge point. And I am a huge brain dumper. Like, I can keep a lot of things up in my brain, but I need to put them on paper. So I have been like crafting something that I call a life list or a launch list of skills that I want my kids to have before they leave my house. And they include everything from like cooking and budgeting to how to make a phone call and make a doctor's appointment to checking the oil in their car. So I do think that there is some amount of training up a child that does not happen in a very natural way anymore, just because our lives are so convenient. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we don't have to do a lot of these things, but also there's a gap in knowledge that we, from a different generation, kind of fell on this knowledge a little bit more naturally. And so I'm like, no, my kids aren't gonna just know how to sew on a button or make a soup out of nothing. I'm gonna show them that. And a launch list has been really fun to like write out.
I love that concept. Oh, I'm gonna totally incorporate that into my life. I love that. Our daughter is just getting to the age where, I mean, she could have been doing a lot of this stuff along the way, but it now is starting to feel like, oh, we're getting there. Like, we're getting to the point where she needs to start learning these things and being able to be more proficient at them. So, I love that. I'm going to make a life list. Ooh. And then yeah, I can sit down with her.
It's fun. I like to do it. And then too, I think to get teenagers out of their caves at dinner time, I can normally get mine by saying like, hey, I'm kind of bored with my playlist. What have you been listening to lately? So I will get the Alexa out and ready, and I will like offer this little nugget, because my teens love music. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have found something that is their native language. Or if you have a kid who's really into movies or really into art, be like, hey, I was wondering what the most, like, what's the new thing for you? What's this interesting thing? Have you heard of this? And then generally I can be like, hey, I'm cooking some soup. Can you, like, show me what your top three plays are right now? And that has been really fun. An easy way to kind of, like, gauge the temperature of their lives.
Oh, I love these little tips. This is fantastic, because it is true. Like, right now, we're not quite at that point. Like, she's still very much, she's 12. So she's still seventh grade, you know, young for her class. So she's still very much at home, right? She's still not out with her friends all the time. So I still know, my finger's still on the pulse of what the songs are and all that kind of stuff and what book she's reading and what movie she's into. But yeah, there's going to come a time in the not too distant future where that's going to start being less and less. And that's a great tip. Yeah. Getting her to put the playlist on. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she'll always chat with you. My oldest is a girl and then I have four boys. And so she always talked to me. I always knew what was going on. And sometimes my teen boys has been a little different. And so I have pivoted my motherhood to meet them where they're at. And it's been so fun to get to know them.
Oh, what a lovely sentiment. Pivoting your motherhood to meet them where they're at. That is so beautiful. Oh, I love that so much. Okay. Let's talk about, we've already talked about some kid appropriate ways, age appropriate ways to get them involved. I think that's lovely. I want to move on to now your huge move from Utah to Vermont. Talk to me one about restoring old home. Okay. We're just going to go through this whole thing. I want to know what made you want to move. You're restoring your home. How did your kids react to this? Because if they're all teenagers, that means they're moving in high school. So tell me more. Walk us through this. What made you want to do this big move? I'm somebody who has done lots of crazy things in my life, so I'm interested to hear someone else's story.
Yeah, we definitely had a catalyst. Like, we built a dream home in our teeny town, and we had built a hardware store in conjunction with a family-owned grocery store. And so the hardware store, which was our long-term retirement plan, was sold to a different sibling unexpectedly. So we kind of like lost the family business, and it was really, really devastating. So in our devastation, we couldn't stay in our tiny town anymore. It just hurt too much. And so looking outward, we said, what are we doing? And we decided to go on a grand adventure. And we bought a business in Vermont, all the way across the country, just to, go out on our own and try something different and have something that was really ours. We had a lot of conversations with our kids about the kind of place that they wanted to move to and the experiences that they wanted to have and the kind of people that they would want to meet. I moved my oldest in between her junior and senior year. She started her senior year in a high school she had never been to in a state that we had not been to before we came to look for houses. So it has been poised as a grand adventure that has kind of come on the heels of a lot of heartbreak. But we are so glad that we're here. It was the pivot that we needed, and this has been a soft place to land. We're glad that we've done it.
Well, I'm so sorry about the reason you ended up having to move. That's just devastating. I can imagine expecting something and then not getting it is very...
It was really disorienting. Yeah. But also, some of those things are like what set you free. Like, it was the catalyst that we never would have been here.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, as this show is called Wanna Be Clutter Free, how was the act of moving and moving all of your stuff across the country? Whether you moved a lot of stuff, moved a little stuff, I think people are always interested.
I think moving's excruciating. Yeah. It was horrible. So we downsized by about 2/3.
Okay.
Which is significant. So yeah. I had my big forever house, but we didn't sell our house. We turned it into a vacation rental. So that was because I lived right outside of Zion National Park.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was super beautiful, but that had like its own set. Like, so not only am I trying to like clean and declutter and pack my own stuff, I am trying to get my house ready for a vacation rental and buy different furniture and wall decor and matching towels.
Right.
So it was a huge, huge Herculean effort to just get out the door. And then I drove across the country with my kids alone.
Okay.
While my husband stayed and was just finishing yard stuff for the vacation rental. And then he drove the 40 hours in just 2 days with the dogs and the lizards and the plants. And we met here. So it was just a ton of work, but I had the convenience of an unfinished basement that is not part of the rental. So I was able to leave half of my Christmas stuff and, family photos and my kids' baby clothes. Like, I didn't have to bring everything, which had some convenience. And then I showed up here and sometimes I'm like, why did I bring this and why didn't I bring that?
Interesting. So have you been
like one day I can probably go back and get some stuff, but it's such a long drive. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask a couple things. Well, first off, we ski at Brian Head. So I'm going to have to talk to you about your vacation rental because I love going
that
there.
That is our mountain.
That's so fun.
We love Brian Head.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's been a real delightful mountain. I grew up skiing I live in Southern California, and the mountains here have gotten so crazy busy and expensive that Brian Head has just been such a lovely little find. It's still 8 hours from us, but it's worth it. So we'll talk. Now I might have a place that I know to stay to go back to, which is fun. And then two, out of the things you decluttered, how much of it, like, how have you felt in the new house with less stuff?
A smaller house is a gift. Do you know what I mean? It's different. I don't have an office anymore. I am sitting at my dining room table. You know what I mean? I don't have a guest room. My parents are going to have to get a hotel. There are some things that are less convenient, but also, like, it's simpler. It is simpler to have less things, and it is nice to be able to sweep and mop in 5 minutes. And I don't mind the downsize at all.
Yeah. How's everyone else feel about it?
They're happy. My kids are great.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, we have some space. We have an unfinished attic. And so some of this stuff, their Legos were really important to them. And I wasn't going to tell them that they could not bring everything they wanted to bring. But now that they're in a smaller room and a smaller space, a lot of stuff's made its way up to the attic. And I'm like, yeah, well, like, that is the point in having an attic. Like, you can live up there. You can have it later.
I'm curious how you feel now that you've been away from the things that you couldn't part from that are in the basement in Utah, how you feel about them now. Now that you have a little separation, you haven't been back to look through them. So I know it's a little, I would love to know how you feel about them when you go back and actually look at them. But how are you feeling about them? Do you feel like, oh, I could probably let more go now?
I'm sure that I could.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The space does help. What's one of the things you wish you would have kept or brought with you that you left that you were like, why did I bring this thing?
I had like a second DSLR camera, and my daughter now is like, oh, analog. Like, I wish that I had like a nice digital camera instead of just my phone. And I was like, oh, I have one. And my CDs, all the kids are into like this analog movement where they want CD players and they want, you know what I mean? They're going to flip phones. It's really fun to see this generation being like, We're not doing Snapchat. We're not into TikTok. Some of these kids are really like, no, like, I'm going to reclaim my time and my life because I've seen everyone around me not have, like, it's like the pendulum swaying too far over. And these kids were kind of the guinea pigs of the social media movement. And they are saying, no, we're not going to live like that. So I wish I would have brought my CD collection.
Interesting. That's interesting because that's not one you would normally hear people be like, oh, I wish I would have kept my CDs. But I can see why. I have to tell you, I have been feeling this pull to go back to the 90s. I mean, 100%. I'm like, I don't want to shop online anymore. I want to go to actual stores. I do want to, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be hard for me to not want to just stream something and actually pull out the DVD. Because I've lived through the DVD era and I'm like, I know there's some conveniences are nice, but I do. And I love this because like I said, it's really hard. Like I don't want to watch my daughter get lost into the phone and into social media and those kinds of things. So she doesn't actually have a phone yet. She's not going to get a phone till 9th grade. She's not going to get social media until 16. We've already talked about it. She's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, okay, I got you to agree to it now. Okay, shoo. but I love that kids are doing this. And it's so nice to hear. That's very refreshing for those of us that are on the cusp.
And we had very similar parenting styles because I just always told him, like, your brain needs a little bit of space. Like, it is not developed. Like, this is my role as your mom, is to help you moderate these things because they are meant to suck you in. And you will learn how to be with them. I was just like, oh, I'll never have a phone and never have social media. And then I was like, that's not real. And so my kids are around 9th grade before they get a phone, and then social media in very small quantities at 16, same. But a lot of times, like, I keep my daughter's Instagram on my phone. She tried it for like maybe 3 months at 17 to have Instagram on her phone. And she's like, Mom, it's too much. Like, I'll just borrow your phone after I'm done with my homework and scroll. So like she just we have separate accounts, yes. But she just uses my right. phone to Instagram, which is yeah. nice. And she is 18. She's an older senior. And so she just tried something else because like the parental locks go away when you turn 18. And she right. downloaded something and she was like, it's not for me, because she was 18 making that decision, not 12. So right. I think that you're really wise in just giving them a little bit of space. And also I'm glad that we tried some of it out before she left home. I didn't want her to go yeah. wild. Like, that's not real either. Like, this is a part of our lives. So we just need to, like, learn a proper relationship with it.
That's a really good point that you make, because I don't think you don't necessarily think of that other jump, that going to college and having that be the first time they try these things is also a little terrifying, right? You don't want them to try budgeting and learn finance the first time they're at college and someone's giving them a free t-shirt for signing up for a credit card. Like, that's not when you want them to learn how to budget. So yes, same thing. You don't want them to learn how to take, you know, or, you know, deal with the influx on Instagram when they're by themselves and can scroll until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Without anyone telling them to stop. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Really good points. We have gotten totally off the topic of meal planning, which is what we brought you here for. But that's what I love about a podcast, is that we never know quite where it's going to ebb and flow to. And I just love talking to somebody who has been there, right? I mean, I think it all comes back to this mental load, whether we're talking about meal planning, the stuff we have in our homes, social media with our kids, you know, screen times and all of that. I think it really does all impact us mentally. So we can bring it back to that if you'd like, because I think for me, when I'm meal planning, or not meal planning necessarily, but cooking, I think that's one of my just like struggles. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to figure out how to keep everyone nourished, and I'm the one thinking of the meals, and I'm the one putting it on the table, and I'm the one going like, okay, it's 5 o'clock. I have to stop what I'm doing. I don't want to stop what I'm doing, but I've got to stop what I'm doing so that I can feed everyone else. You know, these are the thoughts that come up in my head when I think about cooking, and that's why it feels so overwhelming. So you say that meal planning is like a big piece of that invisible labor, or like cooking is a big piece of that invisible labor. So what systems or habits have helped you take some of that weight off of your shoulders, so the dinner isn't this thing that is constantly taking over your mental space?
Right. Like I said, I have 4 boys, and my husband and I were raised in very like Orthodox, traditional, like, this is how it works. The mom cooks, da, 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 da. And I'm unwilling to raise children like that, because I can see this harm over and over again. Even if you weren't raised in that really traditional way, the culture at large really supports this idea.
It
like,
does.
It's just kind of the water in which we swim as women. And so I do a lot of work of voicing what emotional labor looks like for me. So exactly what you said, how you were saying, be like, I have to stop what I'm doing and I have to think about it. And I think about the nourishing them and what to do and how to get it. And was it thawed, and the new recipe, and did I pick it up, and do I have all the things? And you know what I mean? Like, I will say that we have, I call them mom meetings. I have a mom meeting about once a week where I'll bring a topic or a value or a core lesson. Like, I'll bring up an idea kind of like along the ideas of a launch list. Like, you also need to understand certain things in the world. And so I had a rant about the dogs, and this is not a lecture. I'm just saying, this is my lived experience, and I'm doing a lot of these things and I feel overwhelmed by it. I know that this has value to your life of being fed and nourished, and it's helpful to you, but I'm kind of drowning in it. So what ways can you help? What does it look like? What do you even care about this meal? Do you know what I mean? Right. Am I the only one that wants a well-rounded meal? And so I think a lot of dialogue does not hurt. Like, talking to the people in your life about what you're doing for them helps to make it known. And so there can be a, can I help, and some appreciation, because sometimes that makes the burden feel less burdensome.
Yeah.
And then another thing is, this is not realistic for everyone, but in making a giant life change, I have also been burnt out. I just put my homeschool kids into public school. So the first time in 18 years, I do have a little space. But for years and years and years, I did not. My whole life was, you know, working and feeding and schooling and doing these things. And so when we moved, I said, I don't want to carry this all alone. So two times a week, I have asked my partner to do after school so that I can work a full day. So he has a new business and it's pretty busy, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he is after school and he'll cook dinner and he'll go into bedtime. So 2 days a week, I know that I have a reprieve and he'll be part of meal planning and I didn't have to cook dinner. And if I need to schedule a work meeting a little bit late, or if I have stuff like I really need to sit down and commit to, I can kind of time block on those 2 days of the week for my own work. And that was a huge ask, especially from our history and from our way of being. And it has made a huge difference in our relationship too, because I feel more nurtured and more tended and more cared for in this way that like I'm naturally good at. And it's just really easy for me to get dinner on the table because I have done it so much for so many years.
Right.
And the idea that he's willing to be a little bit uncomfortable is good.
Yeah, I like that. I love that approach and how you said that you're sharing the loads, you're feeling supported. And I think all of us need to get a little uncomfortable sometimes because it is so easy to get in our ruts and to do the things that we just have been doing. And so we're good at them. And whether that's in the house, whether that's a new activity you try, because it helps you grow as a person and it'll bring these other ideas and aspects into the other things you do. And it'll help open your eyes to see what other people are going through. And that starts so great in your own home, which then I think can extend out into your community, your friends group, your communities, all the things like that. And the other thing I thought there was, I think when something for us gets very emotionally charged, it's hard to have those conversations. So if you think about other conversations you have for things that aren't emotionally charged and how you just talk about them and it doesn't become this big thing, it's not a big thing. So if we can talk about those things that are difficult for us in that same way, where it's not, I'm not harping at you. I'm coming to you for help. I need help. I need support. I often talk about my lovely Peloton instructors. I love my Peloton workouts and they're always so motivating. And there was one of my instructors, it was Allie Love. She was talking about how we all need to ask for help and we don't do it. Like 98% of us would be willing to help others, but only 2% of us are willing to ask for help. And so if we think about it, we need to flip it on its head. Like, I want to help other people. And so I just need to think that other people are going to want to help me too when I actually need the help and I'm willing to ask. Like, if I ask for help, that means I'm pretty far down that struggle path because I'm really bad at asking for help. And so I think if we just spin that a little bit, have you found that to be similar in your life?
Yes, yeah. 100%. And I do think that like there is more flexibility. Sometimes we're like, oh, like they need to be there till 5. And I'm like, well, if they go in at 6, they can come home earlier. Like there is more flexibility in our lives than we generally allow ourselves to see. And there's always a different way that you could do it, even if historically you have done it a certain way. Just it's moderately uncomfortable to sort that out. And it's, most of us, it's just simpler to keep it how it is, but that's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, true. It's not, because you're never going to get the help if you don't ask for it. And then you'll be resentful. I have found that too. Like if I don't ask for help, I get really resentful that nobody else can see that I'm drowning, but that's not their, they're not mind readers. And if somebody doesn't ask, then I'm not going to know that they need help either. So yeah, 100%. Okay, one other thing I know a lot of moms struggle with are picky eaters in their home. And so a lot of families will fall into this trap of making separate meals or just give up on cooking altogether. They rely a lot on takeout because they're like, nobody eats the same thing. We don't like the same food. It's just really difficult. So what's your approach when kids push back on what's for dinner?
that I knew how to feed kids until I had my fourth child, and he was just like, he's his own man.
Oh,
and I was like, you know, my kids ate vegetables. They, you know what I mean? I was good at it, and I had like a little pat on my back and a little crown on my head. And then he showed up and was like, no, mother, here's the reality of things. So if you have a child that is hard to feed, you are not alone. You are not alone. And I think that like I had to do a lot of looking at him and saying, okay, is this pickiness? Is this a blood sugar issue? And he's screaming at me because he has gotten too hungry. Is this, he is uncomfortable with the new, because he is a highly sensitive person who, the more I get to know, the more I realize interprets the world very differently. So what I thought was picky eating was actually like sensory processing issues. And so like, just give yourself some space to let your kid, like, odds are they're not doing it to spite you. They're probably doing it because some children fall into bad habits and some children have real issues with real food. And I think like, take a long look at it. I also have a youngest child who will fall into the bad habits category. And I know that his is not sensory processed because I have both to hold and look at, and I have an experience with both. And so take a little look at it and be like, do I feel like this is a bad habit that I have helped foster? Or do I think that this is something else? And it's really not going to go well, and me pushing it isn't going to help. So what I have done is I will make my meal, and if I can leave parts out, like leave the sauce off the noodles. Like, I mean, this is mom 101 for most of us. Leave the salad. I had this nice little container, and we would call it the salad bar. So I'd put the lettuce in the middle. It was probably one for like chips and dip. And then I would put the carrots and the celery and the olives, and we would call it salad bar. And I would say, just make your own salad. So having some autonomy around what they're eating and the separate parts and getting it really helped. And then I also am really neutralize your language around food. Like what you were saying, like if we can take some of that emotion out of it, like it is not a moral issue. Do you know what I mean? It is just food. But when I could say, we eat broccoli for fiber to help us poop, and we eat protein because it helps build our muscles, and this sugar tastes delicious, and it makes, we have a memory about this chocolate cake. We can say like, what is the purpose of the food? And that helped my kids to have some language around it. And because I did not push too far, he's now 12. So he has been a really hard, my favorite child though, because I've poured so much into him. He's been a really hard person. But just even the other day at 12, he was like, do you remember when I wouldn't have even eaten this in the past? Because I made like a pretty exciting Thai soup. And he was like, even tried this in the past, but this time, like, he picked out the chicken and sipped on the broth, but he didn't eat the mushrooms or want the snow peas or something. And I was like, that's so neat that you have, can see that self-reflection, that you said, I wouldn't have even tried that in the past, and now I'm willing to eat the white rice on the side and pick out the chicken that I like. So just like, give them a little space to grow up. Keep food separate if you can. And then for years and years and years with him, like, I would serve our dinner, and then I would say, if you're still hungry, go and feed yourself. So he knew he could always have a peanut butter sandwich. He could have an apple. He can have string cheese. Like, there were appropriate post-dinner fill-in-the-crack foods that I would, like, open it up to him. And we could fall into a bad habit of snacking at bad times, and then we did not want to eat our well-rounded dinner. And so I would just need to keep an eye on that. But then after we had sat and ate and had a conversation, I say, okay, if you need anything else to eat now, do it. But then I would also close down the kitchen. So the kitchen's not open for a free-for-all all the time. But he knew if he was still hungry, he could go make a piece of toast with butter and get a piece of string cheese. Like, he had options that he could get himself. Or if he really didn't like it, I kind of taught him, like, just ask. He'd be like, Mom, I don't want to eat this. Can I have some bread? Can I have a string cheese? And we could get that and he could have it. But he was pretty good about sitting at the table and at least looking at it, even if he wasn't really eating it, and kind of like experiencing the meal with us, because he knew he would be fed too.
Yeah. Oh, this was super helpful because you're right. Like if you haven't lived through it, like you said, I thought I was doing everything right. I thought, well, this is fantastic. And if you haven't lived through that experience, you don't know. Like our daughter's a pretty, I would say now, adventurous eater. She wasn't growing up, and I just would make sure everything was separate. That was the best I could do. Like I would make food, and then her plate was always separate. Like our plates would be all mixed up and hers would just have the different parts. And for us, it was just could you just at least taste it? Like you don't have to eat it, but just taste it. And even if that just means licking it, like you don't have to chew it. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Just taste it. And if you still don't like it, totally fine. You know, because I think my husband probably grew up in a house. I don't know if he did or not. But just like, you know, eat the peas, like, you know, sit at the table and eat the peas until you, or, you know, then you can get up. And he never wanted to do that for her. So there can be a lot of trauma around food.
I encourage that a lot. And sometimes I would poise it as like, sometimes learning a new thing is like developing a muscle. Like sometimes like just give it a little taste. Like I encourage taste too, not from like guilt and shame at all, but just like, you don't know, you might have liked it, or some part of it you might like, or none of it you might like. But I do encourage, I mean, they still sit at our table and participate. Like I want that dynamic, and I definitely encourage them to try it, but there wasn't like pressure to it.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that you didn't, if I did. Sorry.
No, yeah.
Okay. But no, yeah, I love that idea of, just working with them where they are, because again, I think it comes down to us. We're all humans. We all do things a little bit differently. We all deserve the ability to learn and grow and discover who we are. And I think food is a great way to do that. Our belongings are a great way to do that. And so it's been really nice to have this conversation with you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. Well, tell people where they can find you and learn more.
Yeah, I blog at Bless This Mess blog. If you want a recipe, I have a lot. So like you could do Bless This Mess blog cornbread, Bless This Mess blog chocolate chip cookies, like basically any recipe that you would want, I probably have at this point. So just like if you put my little blog name first and then it should pop right up. And did you know you can write minus AI and then that will take AI out of your search results?
I did not know this.
You can. And
oh,
so
I
that is
this.
Helpful too for finding recipes, because AI recipes are like the wild west right now. They're very weird. And then on social, I really like Instagram and Instagram stories. Like you'll see my daily walk in Vermont and the cool, crazy, like there were just tractors outside, like eating up the snow because there's so much of it. They like cart it off. They're like putting the snow into the river because it's feet high.
Oh my gosh. So, this is a totally different world.
Yeah. At Bless This Mess blog on social media.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to have to come live vicariously in the snow and you can come live vicariously in the sun. I'm in San Diego. It is the opposite here. But for sure, we'll definitely check that out. And I can't wait to like dive into all your recipes. That sounds lovely. So,
thank you.
Yeah. All right. My favorite way to end every show, though, is with three rapid fire questions. And the first one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
I think that it is just flat surfaces, right? It's my bar. If I can keep one in my side table, if I can just keep like one thing clutter-free, then it's probably going to bleed out to the other ones.
Ooh, yeah, true. Okay. What is making you happy right now or in this season of your life?
I have forced some bulbs. So I have an amaryllis and some paper whites blooming in my cold, cold house. And it's really magical.
That's so fun. Okay. I've never heard that one. That's a fun one. And number three, what is one small step you recommend listeners take today?
Give yourself some space, some grace. Mm-hmm. Just be kind. Do you know what I mean? Like I know that you are doing the best where you are, and give yourself a pat on the back for that.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back right now because we could all use it for sure. Oh, love that. All right, Melissa. Well, thank you so much. You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
I told you that conversation was going to go places. I hope you enjoyed it. I really loved how it ebbed and flowed and how we were able to dive deeper on some topics and concepts. And the thing that struck me the most, though, was Melissa's concept of this launch list. I love this idea of writing down all the life skills that you want your kids to have before they leave your home. Maybe it's cooking, maybe it's budgeting, maybe it's making a doctor's appointment, maybe it is sewing on buttons or learning how to sew their own clothes. There are so many opportunities for us to show our kids these things, but it can be really difficult to find the time because we are all so busy. So if we just plan and make a point of doing it, then it might happen. Because she's right. These things don't just happen naturally anymore. We have to be intentional about teaching them. So I love this idea of having your teens be apprentices in the life skills that they're going to need. All right. And so I want you to know, though, if you want to continue this conversation with she and I, you can find Melissa over at Bless This Mess blog. She's got almost 2,000 free recipes on her site. And if you search Bless This Mess blog, plus whatever food you're craving, she said it'll pop right up. And I love her pro tip about being able to type in minus AI in your search to filter out those weird AI generated recipes, because they're kind of weird. If you've ever stumbled across them, they do get to be a little confusing. So just go with a trusted resource and check out Melissa. All right. She's also on the Instagram at Bless This Mess blog, where you can follow along with her Vermont adventures, which is super fun and exciting. All right. But I would love to know what landed for you. Come tell me on Instagram. I'm at Wannabe Clutter Free, or you can share in our Facebook community. It's a private group called the Wannabe Minimalist Family. So just look us up over there. And if this episode helped you, I would love if you could take 30 seconds to leave a review and a rating for the show. It really does help other families find the show, and it means the world to me and just kind of lights up my day. So it's a fun way for you to give back. I would really appreciate it. All right. Next week, it's episode 300, and I will be joining you for a solo show. I love these big milestone moments. And so it's going to be a good one. All right. I hope you join me for that. But until next time, take care. Keep things simple. Try Melissa's idea of taking 5 minutes and brainstorming a main list of meals that your family already knows, loves, and enjoys. And do it like she says, and make it theme nights so it's easier for you to think of these things when you're doing your big mind sweep, okay? That's step one of Melissa's system, and it just might change your relationship with dinner time and help you start a monthly meal plan. All right, I'll talk soon. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.